Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
And with a quick turn, skipper Alex Dock slams it in.
There's Lindegaard making Forrest backpedal. Davis looking to help it into the path of Morris. He's found him via the deflection. It's Aaron Davis. He could win it. He probably has won it for Yeovil.
Oh, and it's an opening goal.
Stansfield, good turn away from Trott, goal!
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Glovers Cast. We are 5 matches unbeaten. That is a 5-match streak we are on, ladies and gentlemen. And yes, the Somerset Premier Cup does count, as does Yate Town in the FA Cup. So I'm joined this evening by two other people who didn't attend the match this weekend. Mr. Ian Perkins, who was a little closer than Mr. Ben Barrett. How are we doing tonight, gentlemen?
Tired.
Bit snoozy. Snoozy today. Fine, good though.
But yeah, snoozy. Fully self-inflicted. So, yeah. You know, I can't really complain about it.
So what are your excuses? My excuse was I was 250 miles away, so that's not really a good excuse. But
my excuse is that I was at a wedding on Friday.
Oh, yeah, you were, weren't you?
Which finished at midnight, and then we went in a hot tub in the cottage we had for a couple of hours.
Blimey.
And then I spent Saturday recovering and spending a bit of time with some mates who I haven't seen since before the world went all a bit tits up. So, yeah.
Now you're making me feel bad for even asking you to explain yourself.
And you know what? Like, you know, we said how Ben needs to go to football for us to win.
Yep.
I think I need to not go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
For us to win.
If anyone sees Ian under the H, have a word.
Yeah. Yeah. What are you doing here? What are you doing here?
And Ben, you were geographically challenged, as was I, weren't I? So
And employmently challenged as well, yes.
Employmentally challenged, yeah. Whatever that is, yeah. Well, I did have the pleasure of listening to it with Sheridan and Nick Crittenden. Did you hear it in between whatever cricket it was you were listening to, Ben, or greyhound racing from Cambodia or somewhere?
We haven't got the Cambodian contract just yet. We're okay with what we've got for now. Okay. I strategically planned my off-air time for between 3 and 5 so that I could listen in specifically. Is Nick Crittenden the nicest man in the world?
I think he could be, yeah, quite possibly.
Just what a nice man.
Yeah.
Everything he says is nice.
He is a positive Polly, isn't he, I think?
He is. I think, like, he spends his Sunday, he probably pops to the local animal shelter and just cuddles lonely puppies.
That's it.
Just a nice guy. Everything he says is nice.
Yeah. And if, just... if he doesn't do that, then he's gone down in my estimation now.
Quite, yeah, well, yeah. You're, yeah, yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. So, yes, I did enjoy it. I did listen in. And it was, it sounded good. I mean, I wasn't there, so I don't know. I couldn't see it, but it sounded like it was all good.
Yeah. Well, which... how about then at that point, because none of us were there, how about we get a little word from someone who actually was there? So we've got a roving reporter for a very brief interlude, Mr. Elliot Watts, ladies and gentlemen.
I think today's game is probably the best I've seen this season because it was a gritty, hard-fought win, but with some really nice football in there as well. We played really well in places. I thought Jordan Barnett at left-back was just magical. Really was, like, up and down, taking the ball off him and starting the attack. Nice to see Staunton back in midfield as well. I think we miss that so much. So we aim having Wilkinson and Hunt back behind him. And Wilco's the best defender in the league, 100%. No one else comes close. Youssef played probably his best game that I've seen for us. I still don't think he's the best player, but he played well and his strike was a rocket, as was Knowles's. Two fantastic goals. Yeah, it was a solid 3 points. I'm really buzzing actually for them today because they worked hard for that 3 points and they deserved it. They didn't do the classic go back to 1-0 and, you know, leave it there or try and hold on for 1-0 even like we've seen. They were pushing to get that second goal and Quigley changed the game. Quigley was unbelievable when he came on. They were hands all over him and he wouldn't bat an eyelid. He looked so strong out there. He won everything. He did not miss a header when he came on the pitch today. But probably the best part was the last 5 minutes. There was limbs, actual limbs being thrown in front of the ball. Like, whole bodies just diving in front of it, stop shots. Thoroughly well-deserved 3 points. And, yeah, I'm happy I went. And I'm buzzing for them. Really delighted.
That was Elliot telling us his views on the afternoon at Huish Park, which sounded like a fun little 90 minutes, I thought.
He loves a tough tackling left back, doesn't he? He just can't get enough of him. Carl Dickinson, he's now falling in love with Jordan Barnett. And what have we told people about falling in love with footballers?
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Wow.
But if they score worldies like Tom Knowles,
like Cristiano Ronaldo in his prime, Crit said, didn't he? AKA nicest man in football. We'll have to work that into a hashtag, I think. Nicest man in football.
I mean, the goal's drawn a bit of debate, hasn't it? I mean, admittedly, I've only seen it from the recording you sent of it. So I've seen it.
Me recording my TV they're recording a football match. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's like third.
There is a better version on the socials. BT Sport used it as their grabber video. So you can go to the YTFC Twitter feed and they have used a better version if you want to have a look at it.
Better than my TV, what are you trying to say?
Coates' distant view of a television.
Correct.
it seems to be... some people said the keeper should have done better.
Who said that, Ben?
I don't know. Did someone say that?
What do we think then? Was it a lovely guy? I mean, the way he turns and skips past the defender and hits it looks lovely on a small screen through Dave's recording.
He'd done a few before, hadn't he? According to the commentary, he'd had a few pops. So the way I look at it was he was buying 3 lucky dips in the Euro Millions and one of them came off, wasn't it? That's what you have to do. If you don't buy a ticket, you don't win a lottery. And that's what he did.
That is right. I think when I listened to it, and obviously the sort of immediate feedback was that this is one of the best goals we have seen at Huish Park. I think Nick Crittenden called it one of the best goals I've ever seen live at Huish Park. And that made me think, crikey, I'm looking forward to this replay. And maybe it was because it was slightly oversold a bit. I did watch it and go, well, I mean, it's good. It's good, but keeper should be saving that, right? Now, I don't know whether the keeper's been done for pace, he's been a bit blindsided, whatever it may be. But it's not like it's top bins, as the cool kids say. But it hit the back of the net, and that'll do for me any day of the week.
Pretty sure Ben told us he'd scored better goals than that, didn't he?
It's factually correct.
Is it?
Yep.
And if anybody has got video of Coombe St Nicholas third team from 2000 and whatever.
Fourth team.
I mean, that's not even recorded off my TV, is it? That's.
I think to be in the class of like one of the best goals ever, it has to go in off the bar and bounce back up into the roof of the net. Like yeah. That's what I want from a goal from distance.
Thronka territory.
Who was a guy who scored it? Scored one of them. Johan Aquin, wasn't it?
He did. Yes. Oh, I thought you were going to go with Tony Yeboah then for a second.
No.
Johan Aquin was on the volley as well, wasn't it? Was it on the volley?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah.
I mean, it's no Ollie Johnson at Tranmere, but you know, it's close.
Ryan Seager scored a good one, didn't he? In off the bar and back up into the net as well. In front of the Thatcher stand back in the day. The winner was quite nice as well, wasn't it?
That was a pinger.
He smashed that.
I used a different phrase, didn't I? I won't say it because you have to press the button.
I think we've already said Thunder Bastard, so. Oh.
What was it we described it as? An instinctive twatting.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you said he twatted it. And we said he didn't really think about it as well. It was one of those moments where he just had to react. Although the angle I've seen it on Dave's TV looks like it's offside.
Oh, we are really picking holes, aren't we? We're really going for picking holes. I don't think it's offside. It's an awkward angle. There's no way you can tell, really.
None of their defenders appealed, are they?
Yeah, no. There's none of the defenders. And because the ball is a bit of a long, long hoof almost, the assistant referee has plenty of time to be in the right position for the flick on. So I would trust the assistant to be in a good enough position to see if he is offside for that one. It's not like it's a three ball ricochet, a short pass. It's a long old hoof that's been launched. Lionel's got plenty of time to get there.
You have a lot more faith in National League officiating than I do, Ben.
Yes, I do. Yes, clearly. but yeah, I trust that he would have been able to get there for a 60-yard punt upfield.
And am I right in saying that the ball played forward that Quigley flicked on was from Grant Smith? I think that's what I remember.
Rewind your little clip.
No, you can't see it because it just shows it where it gets flicked on to.
It looks like a long ball up, and it. Yeah.
I think it is Grant Smith, and that's something that they mentioned it on the commentary, and I'd noticed it a couple of times. Grant Smith's kicking is actually really quite good. He's actually very precise with his kicking, and I'm not sure it's something that I've ever really noticed about a goalkeeper before. I've only really ever noticed the fact that they can save goals, but yeah, Grant Smith's kicking, I seem to remember, as a not that we want them to be banging balls forward every 5 minutes, but as an option. It's not a bad one, I don't think.
Is he the Edison of the National League?
So it's Edison in goal. We've got Gareth Bale on the left.
Twiglets at right back. Yeah.
Twiglets at right back and Cristiano Ronaldo scoring worldies.
Yeah.
Glover's cast.
Well, we've got the best defender in the National League back, according to Elliot, in Luke Wilkinson.
And we're due the best striker in the next two leagues, due back in the end of the month.
Cool.
Is it best striker or best back to goal striker?
Well, let's lump everyone in together. It's fine.
Okay.
But you are absolutely right. It feels so good to have Luke Wilkinson back, doesn't it? Because the options it gives us, the options it does, it's amazing. You've got the ability just to chuck Morgan Williams on. You feel a little bit more comfortable having Josh Staunton in front of the defence. And you've got all that game experience of Wilkinson. It is, yeah, it's pretty huge. I do think we're going to look back on any period without Luke Wilkinson as being a bit iffy. And for me, I think that's a huge, huge thing. It was picked up by the gaffer after the game. It's picked up by everybody that said anything to do with it. It was part of Sheridan's five conclusions. And for me, I think it's, massive.
Morgan Williams, by the sounds of it, as well, when he came on, he made a crucial interception in like the very, very in injury time, didn't he? I think so. I think you said the other week there was good to have good options to bring off the bench. Sounds like Quigley made a difference when he came off as well. I think Elliot said there. Sonny sounded like did okay when he came on. So we have got some good options coming off the bench now, which is a plus, and we're certainly going to need that.
We're also going to. It's interesting that we played two. It wasn't Quigley for Youssef. Mm-hmm. So it's not just an option in personnel, but that's a tactical option that mm-hmm. we can have a two and one flick on for the other. Yeah, that's handy. That's something that I didn't think we were going to see maybe at all.
Well, that's been one of the criticisms of the manager, isn't it? Doesn't change it and doesn't mix it up when things aren't going our way. So, you know, the opposite occurred on Saturday, which is good.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely is. I think it's, if you think that we've used Jordan Barnett in three or four different positions, we've used Josh Staunton in three or four different positions, we've used tactically Wakefield and Knowles very differently as part of a midfield four, as part of a midfield three, as part of a front three. It does seem that we are just starting, without wanting to get too carried away, but we're starting to be able to react to things. You have a plan A, and a plan A that either did or didn't work. The plan A worked against Stockport, it didn't work against others. And the fact that we've got a plan B to go to, I mean, we've seen plenty of football over the last, not just few years, but 5, 6, 7 years, that we go 1-1 there in the 68th minute, we lose that game. How many times have we lost that game from that point there? Yeah. And we haven't. We've gone back and we've won it. It's not like we even held on. We've gone and won the damn thing. That's huge for me. That might be my biggest takeaway of the whole game yesterday, is that we won a game we would have lost almost certainly under Darren Way, and have lost a few times under Darren Saal, even last season.
Even this season. That run that was, the four at home that were disastrous. You know, those were games that, you know, if this had happened in October, we may have fallen behind rather than struck back.
So if we added context into this when we were losing, can we add context into it now we're winning as well? I know Ian accused me of having a personality transplant on the last episode. So a little bit of negative, not negative, Nelly, necessarily, but look at the games that we've won. So, I mean, if you take the last five, we had Woking, who were kind of a bit off form when we beat them. Solihull, they were in decent form, so a point there was away from home as well was a very good result. Although they did have a player sent off. Yate and the SBC, huh?
So did we?
Yeah, well, they had a player sent off for first
by and 9 minutes.
Yeah, 9 minutes in 9 minutes. And then Larkhall and Yate, or Yate and Larkhall, I should say, yeah, you should be winning them. And then yesterday, Saturday, I should say, we played an Eastleigh team who had got 4 points away from home, so they were rubbish away from home. We've now got Dagenham and Redbridge, who have hit a little bit of ropey form recently, but still seventh, I think, still in
there. Angelo Balanta scored a hat trick yesterday.
Exactly, yeah. And then
bagsman.
Yeah. And then we got Bromley, who nicked a point at Stockport at the weekend. And then we've got Dover, haven't we, at home? And then we're away at Wrexham. So that next fortnight, for me, I think that is the one where after that fortnight, you really know what we are if we're more than, well, I say what we are. I know the manager's been talking up having Little and Reed back, and that's gonna make all the difference. So you know what this current set of personnel is. I mean, I will temper all of that negativity with a bit of positivity of saying, what a way to go into those four games. You couldn't pick a better way to go into those four games than the one that we've had, I think. But is that unfair? Am I being unnecessarily negative there?
No, I think I think I completely and utterly agree. What I would say is that each time we face, especially with the league games, is that we feel like we're taking on somebody the next rung up the ladder. If we accept that Weymouth are complete tosh and we had them twice, and then we went to Grimsby and played really well, apparently. Again, didn't see it, but came away with a loss and then kind of reset ourselves. Woking, the worst of the lot recently, in the league anyway. Good, solid 2-0 home win. Solihull, few extenuating circumstances with the red cards, with the change of defence and whatnot. To come away from Solihull, I wonder if we're going to look back on that at the end of the season and go, crikey, that was a good point. And then Yatetown, potential banana skin, all the rest of it, dealt with it, swatted them away like flies. Got going in. I know we take the piss out of the Somerset Premier Cup and we semi-joke about it, but we've gone and got a job done there and actually given a few guys a few minutes and got Luke Wilkinson a few more minutes and all the rest of it and added Yusuf and players like that. That's then led towards the next rung up the ladder, which is Eastleigh, who are a good side, but have their fallibilities, especially away from home. And now we have to go up the next rung of the ladder. As we go slightly further up the table, we're now looking at a couple of sides in the playoffs, in and around the playoffs. And if we want to be serious about being, quote, in touch with the playoffs, we have to be able to go to Dagenham, to Bromley, and then eventually to Wrexham and basically try and get something. And in the midst of it all, thrashed over and get ready for a Football League club coming down in the FA Cup as well. Big test, but that's the test we want. I'd much rather be going into these games with a couple of wins, with a couple of goals, with, you know, what was it, 338 minutes of... No, it'll be longer than that with the Somerset Premier Cup. It'll be 428 minutes, give or take. I hope my maths is all right without conceding.
That was... yeah, because Grimsby was the last goal before Saturday, wasn't it? Right. Yeah. They scored right at the end, didn't they?
Yeah.
And so, I think going into those games with Luke Wilkinson back in the team as well is a huge plus for us. Just because, like we said earlier, we've allowed to move Staunton forward and offer that protection in front as well. It just makes a difference. And, it, you know, it's an interesting dynamic now. We're back in a, you know, bit more of a diamondy three in midfield situation. You know, before it was Staunton and Gorman, so it's, you know, it's a bit of a change up with Worthy in there as well. Wouldn't be so easy to play against. I like having three in there really just to pad it out a bit and give you an option to get away. That's one of the things it felt like with a 4-4-2 was when we had you know, if we cleared the ball, there wasn't always that option there to take it off. Whereas if Staunton picks the ball up on the edge of his own box, in theory, he should have two people he can pass to close by to help us escape and move it out.
And it seems like we're getting better at doing the different out balls when going forward. We're seeing being able to use the two wider players. I saw that against Woking. It was so, so easy. If you're under the cosh for 5 minutes, just to pop a ball beyond the fullback's head and just expect Wakefield and Knowles to get there, or Harry and hustle and get towards the byline and earn a free kick or a throw-in or a corner, whatever it is, and you suddenly relieve pressure. It feels like that we've kind of got out of our heads of that thing of sitting back and waiting for pressure. We've got an out ball. We've got a way of going forward. If it is a Joe Quigley flick on to an Adi Youssef running in behind, or whether it is Sonny Blue coming on and holding the ball and getting crunched and being creative and trying to buy free kicks and stuff, we're getting better at that bit, which is vital. If we're able to go to Dagenham and get a 1-0 lead, you're going to need those out balls. You're going to need to sort of soak up pressure, but then sort of take the foot off the pedal a little bit. So, yeah, you're absolutely right, Dave. This is a massive fortnight. If we come out of this fortnight with 9-10 points, we'll probably be in and around the playoffs. If we come out of it with none, we'll be back to where we were at the start of October.
If we don't get something against Dover, that is pretty poor, isn't it?
and do you know what? That's an interesting little thing, because it's not that Dover game's right slap bang in the middle, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's perfectly feasible that you come off an unlucky loss against Dagenham, Bromley give us a hiding. You've still got to be able to pick yourself up and go against Dover and know that you've got to spank them and beat them well, because you've then got to go to Wrexham and host a Football League club in the FA Cup. So that Dover game is massive in terms of making sure we get that win, almost regardless of what happens against Dagenham, Bromley and Wrexham.
Yeah, Yeah. I suppose the really good thing about yesterday was the way we came back. The fact that we came back, like you said before, and I think we saw that as Solihull as well, Ben. You know, they've got, there's definite bit of steel to them, isn't there? And I know the manager's made a point about how young the team is, and you know, that they're not that they're all learning, but you do feel that there is a resilience amongst them, isn't there, to use an overused phrase. So that's a good thing, and that's going to be very important in the next couple of weeks.
I think the other thing that's noticeable is the lack of injuries we're suffering as well. Like, I know Robinson, that sort of came out of the blue, Jack Robinson's injury. But other than that, you know, like Wilco's, there's always that lingering fear with Wilco, but we're managing the players quite well. When you consider the hectic October we had and how many of those players we managed to keep fit through that entire schedule.
And
you know,
we had the option yesterday. Yeah, and we had the option yesterday that the manager said afterwards that all three substitutions were because of Knox. That wasn't an option last year. We didn't have the chance just to take three players off because they weren't feeling 100%.
Yeah.
We had to just pray and hope that they made it through. We had to play Lawson Diaz even though he shouldn't have played. You know, it was that kind of season. But this season, soon as one of them gets a knock, right, we've got an option. We can do something. Right, where's Sonny? Right, where's the next one? Where's the next one? So it does feel like we've just got, like I say, a plan B, maybe even a plan C, which is something that we haven't had in a long time.
It's weird to be thinking about it in that way, because at the start of the season when we had like 14 players and we couldn't put a bench together, you know, we were all a little bit panicky.
Yeah, we were. And then Mark Little goes and Ruben Reed goes and Albie's in America and you're thinking, oh, crikey, who have we got? Ollie Hayes makes a bench and Toby Stevens gets a few minutes here and there. But, and again, credit to the gaffer, he did keep on saying, I haven't got the resources to go and get more people. We're just going to have to wait for these guys to start trickling back. And we're only at the start of that. There's still two more to come, but two of the four that we were waiting on are back. And yeah. Hopefully the others will be not a million miles away behind, around the corner.
Absolutely. FA Cup. A bit of breaking news. Well, it's breaking news for us, but it won't be breaking news for listeners tomorrow. Stevenage are parting ways with their manager, Alex Revel. Is it Alex?
Revel.
Revel.
Home county, isn't it? You got to say it with a bit of flair.
Oh, okay.
Alexander Revel.
It's like Mexican.
Revel, yeah.
So, you know, that's an interesting call. 48 hours before they face MK Dons in the FA Cup. So we'll find out this week who we're going to play on the telly.
The favourite for the new Stevenage manager has literally in the last minute on this Sunday
evening. Aaron Way's Runaway Army.
Oh, no, it's far funnier than that.
Oh, right. Go on.
Mr. Graham Wesley.
Hey, had to be, didn't it? Had to be.
There's loads of comments under that announcement on Twitter saying, is Wesley coming back to relegate us? Blimey. He was the one who brought him up, like, must be like a decade ago now, wasn't it?
Yeah, he took him up for the playoffs, didn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, I always think Graham Wesley is to Stevenage what Gary Johnson is to us, because he is. When you look at his record at Stevenage, their big achievements have been done with him as manager. And obviously there's been lots of things, well, that he did. And I mean, Gary Johnson took us to the championship, out of the championship, and then pretty much took us out of League One, didn't he? So I think, Graham Wesley is one of those managers that fits Stevenage in the same way I think Gary Johnson fitted Yeovil. Not that they'll thank me for saying that, I'm sure. But where's Darren Sahl in the odds then?
Oh, he's opened that can of worms, hasn't he? There are a couple of names with Yeovil Town links on the list. Paul Tisdale is 12-1. He, of course, wants of this part of the world. Russell Slade,
He's not have a job, isn't he? Yeah,
he's too busy faffing around with people's data, isn't he? 25-1. There is one name that's missing off this list at time of recording. I'd hazard a guess that it won't be missing by the time this goes live. I will say nothing more.
Do you think people are William Hill listening to us, are they?
No, the only people who have odds at the moment, like I say, this is 8:30 Sunday evening. It is just literally 8:27, I think it landed. Bet Victor are the only people that have any kind of list. So by the time this goes live, there will be probably more lists. I'd hazard a guess there's a name that will probably go on there.
Can walk into any job he likes.
Oh, no.
I know it's Darren you're thinking of.
Yeah, not yet. To be fair, both of
Darren Purse you're thinking of. Yeah, Darren Purse.
We have a lot of Darrens, don't we?
We do, yeah.
Yeah. What's a space? Feels like an interesting time. You know, Carlisle was a long way away, but Stephen is a little bit closer.
Yeah, it is. You're right.
Is there anything else going on, or should we go to the questions?
I don't think there is. Oh, go on.
Poppy shirts. I'm probably going to get outbid for Josh Thornton's, aren't I?
Can I say, if anyone does buy Josh Thornton's shirt instead of Ben, please can you send it to him? He'll be very upset if he doesn't get it. And the same with Ian, with Tom Knowles as well.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. Can I just say, Ben is the only one of the three of us wearing a poppy today, and massive respect for that. I do have two of those pins somewhere with 2021 on.
You can't even see it.
Look at it. It's on your collar. It's behind you.
I had to record some videos at work, and only my shoulders are in, so I can't have it too low. Otherwise, it doesn't show. So I have to have it there on the little collary bit. So yeah, there you go.
I did enjoy the Grimsby fans. There was the Grimsby podcast that we spoke to the other week. Were going live from Aldershot. They were at Aldershot, which, as I know, obviously having been born and raised there, is the home of the British Army. So when it comes to Remembrance Day, nobody does it like Aldershot does it. And the Grimsby podcaster went live outside the ground and described Aldershot as like an opium factory. There's that many poppies, he said. So I don't know if it's the same where you are, but there are a lot of poppy just like lining the roads where I am as well. So I think it's because I've moved to a slightly upper class part of the northwest of England since last Remembrance Day. But
yeah. I mean, being in the village next to an airbase.
Yeah, you'll have a lot of poppies as well, won't you?
Even through Yeovil, there's a lot in the Quidam and the High Street and stuff.
No opium factories, though, in the Quidam?
Certainly none signposted.
A few vacant units, you never know, do you?
Yeah, yeah.
You seen Breaking Bad?
Who knows what's going on in Beals? That's a, it's a big old site. Can easily sneak in there and, you know, start something up.
Mass producing crystal meth, yeah. Out of Beals. What used to be called Denners when I was a kid.
Yeah, I mean, it was Denners when I was a kid.
Same place, Denners.
It was a shop that had the real Santa.
The real Santa was in Denners?
Yeah. You know when you used to go and see Father Christmas?
Yeah.
It was he was a real one.
Right.
You know.
And how did you check his credentials?
Well, he didn't have a fake beard. He had a real beard.
Oh, right. Oh, is that what you need to be the real Santa, is it?
I think so. When you're a kid.
Right.
That's all it requires.
I mean, probably shouldn't go too much further with this in case there are any young people watching, but yeah.
Watching,
listening, yeah. I was talking about Ben. The resident young person on here.
I've got some horrible news for you guys about the Tooth Fairy.
I don't want to hear it. Yeah. I don't want to hear it.
Should we take some questions? There might be some crisps and confectionery ones in there.
I hope there is.
Anything about the Tooth Fairy or the Easter Bunny?
He's not real either.
God's sake, Ben. Break my heart. Go on. Questions.
Okay. We're starting with a Christmas one, actually.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, Joey Chinnock. With Ben sounding so keen for Christmas in the last podcast, are you guys going to do a mini Secret Santa? If not, what would you guys get each other as a surprise?
We can't really do a Secret Santa if there's three of us, can we? One of us will get ourselves, surely. We might all end up with ourselves, I don't know.
What would you buy yourself, Dave, if you got yourself on a Secret Santa? What would you?
I would buy myself a life-size cutout of Reuben Reed. I just stand it next to me, and he can look menacing at me while I'm recording this.
Yeah.
I get Ben something spam related. Yeah, probably. In fact, a friend of mine makes somebody I work with, who probably a friend of mine as well, makes face masks, and she told me that she had various different food brands, so I might be able to get you a spam face mask. How about that?
Ben's looking at down the line at a spam gift set, isn't he? You go to B&M now, and they'll start having a box set with spam in. Yeah. Right next to the Lynx Africa.
maybe Lynx and Spam could have a collab.
Oh, God. Spam-flavoured Lynx.
There you go.
Do people still buy Lynx? Or is that just...
Yeah, you can...
I still get them, so someone is.
Just imagine that, Ben, like with Spam-flavoured deodorant. You'd have, like, cats following you around, wouldn't you? Start trying to throw yourself in a fryer. But that would be it. But I would buy Ian for, if I got Ian a Secret Santa, I'd buy him a ticket to the Derby, so he doesn't have to give any money to Scott Priestnell.
I thought you meant Arsenal Spurs then.
Oh no, I wouldn't give him a ticket for that. That'd be bloody expensive, wouldn't it?
Yeah. No.
I'd get him a seat under the H.
Under the H.
Not Fat Harry.
What about you?
What are you buying me?
It's a bit of a thinker, this one, isn't it? This question. It's hard to think about that when you're still sort of sleep deprived. What should we get Coatsy? Coatsy needs another Yeovil Town shirt hanging behind him.
They probably do, actually. Yeah. This one, the one I've got there, has got Tom Bradbury's name on the back of it. That's the playoff semi-final one, as worn by Tom Bradbury. In fact, I'll show you. Yeah, you won't be able to.
This is going to make great audio. It's picking up the hanger. It does indeed say Bradbury 19 on the back. There we go.
Bradbury 16.
19.
Oh yeah, 19. It's back to front on the camera.
Yeah, but not back to front in front of you.
No, well, I wasn't looking at it, was I? I was holding it up to you.
Bradbury 61.
Yeah.
You need a right-sided centre-back shirt to go with that one, I think.
Who could that be? Who's a right-sided centre-back?
Wilco.
Yeah. I'd have Wilco's. Maybe I'll bid on Wilco's and I'll send it to you to send it to me for Christmas. Yeah. It's a bit tragic, isn't it? Did we answer that one?
I think so. I have no idea what I would buy.
Are we doing a Secret Santa?
Well, no. You said it wouldn't really work.
Maybe we could run a prize for a listener to join the Secret Santa, and then there'll be four people.
Yeah, whoever's on the quiz, whoever's winning the quiz at a certain time.
Yeah. Have you got the leader? Have you got the Hall of Fame up yet, Ben? On the website?
No, I haven't. No, I haven't. Sorry, I've got the bit of paper somewhere, but yes.
Right, coming soon then.
Yes. Speaking of, it's not really, well, we sort of mentioned about stats in terms of the quiz Hall of Fame. Paddy at Property Starter, the OG, asks, does anybody have any stats for games won with Wilco playing versus without Wilco playing? I bet his win ratio would be high. Ben?
Hiya. Yes.
Why do you think Ben's got a stat?
Yeah, I do. Here this season, he has played in 7. He has won 5. He has drawn 0, and been on the losing side twice. One of which, is, of course, is that anomaly fixture against King's Lynn that was all just a bit of a faff. So 5 out of 7 will do. He's won 5/7 of his game games with us. That's also a very good rating.
5 out of 7, yeah, that is a good rating. Presumably one of the other defeat is the Chesterfield one where he only played half an hour.
That's where he went off, wasn't it?
Yeah, came off against Morgan Chesterfield, Williams.
So have you have you got our results without him?
Yes, played the rest, won a couple, drawn none, lost some more.
So we've half answered that one.
Yeah.
There you go, Paddy.
I've been very busy at work.
It's fine, yeah, Paddy, you can do the research on that one.
Yeah. That doesn't include the Somerset Premier Cup, does it? You played against Lark Hall, Ben. Come on, if we're taking this competition seriously, let's take it seriously.
Played 8, won 6, drawn none, lost 2.
Thank you.
Chris Fox in gloves asks, who's everyone's...
Still not wearing gloves, that man.
Who's everyone's current player of the season so far? Ben?
That's obvious.
I love you, Josh. Who's your player of the season currently, Ian? I love you, Tom.
No, I don't think it can be Tom. He's only just hit form, hasn't he?
He has only just hit form.
I can't argue with Ben's choice.
No.
I think he's been, yeah. How much better would we have been with him last season?
Yeah, very true.
No, he's just, yeah, I don't think we quite realised what a player we had until we've seen him this season, and just having to go from midfield to defence and now back to midfield. Yeah.
We are talking about Josh Daunton here, aren't we? I noticed we haven't actually named him yet, although everybody knows Ben's feelings towards him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who's yours? Is he yours as well? Or?
I'd say Josh Daunton, yeah. But honourable mention for Jordan Barnett, I think.
Yeah, I've got an honourable mention in for Charlie Wakefield.
An honourable mention to Dan Moss.
Yeah, great, Dan Moss as well, yeah.
Grant Smith.
Just for the shag of hips.
The hips don't lie.
I don't know. It was the referee, wasn't it? The referee on Saturday was the same ref that last booked him when he was dry humping Brandon Goodship. There's a title, Ian. Dry humping. Either that or something about the Easter Bunny.
If Brandon Goodship gets like Google alerts for his name coming up or something and tomorrow, you see.
Dry humping Brandon Goodship. Oh, dear.
Dear, oh, dear. Yeah. The young pretender, Andy Craig, asks, in 90 minutes, how many bears could Bear Grylls grill if Bear Grylls could grill bears?
Exactly 50% of the amount of wood that a woodchuck could chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood. The math work out equal, however you work it out.
I wouldn't bet back Bear Grylls against any bear. I wouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, has he already caught the bear? Are the bears already caught? Has he got to find the bears?
Yeah.
Context.
I don't rate Bear Grylls' his ability to catch a bear, let alone
grill one.
Yep.
Has he got?
There's your answer.
Has he got to build the grill?
Has he got to build the bear?
Exactly.
I mean,
another one from Foxy here, actually.
Ugh.
After the last,
still not wearing gloves.
No, after the last few pods, it's been noticed that Dave has been mentioning Darren Way a lot. The question is...
The quiz was about players that play for Darren Way.
Is Coates Darren Way's number one, brackets only, fan?
Well, I think...
Darren Way on OnlyFans?
Blimey! No. Don't go there. Wow. I thought half dry up and Brandon Goodship was bad, but that's a horrific thought.
We do need a discussion about, you know, Darren OnlyFans. Way, the player... Versus yeah. Darren Way, the manager.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't be the only fan of... now you've got that in my head. I wouldn't be the only fan of Darren Way, the player. Darren Way, the player, was excellent. Darren Way, the player, would probably walk into a lot of all-time Yeovil Town teams, I think. But Darren Way, the manager, was completely out of his depth, wasn't he? More out of his depth than Weymouth are in this division. So, yeah.
Oh, it's a double whammy.
Yeah, I don't think I think Mr. Fox has known me long enough to know my real feelings about Darren Way. But
do you think he's poking you a little bit there? Has he triggered you?
He's worked, isn't he? Yeah. I can't remember. What was it triggered me last time? I can't remember. It was something. There's always something, isn't there?
I'm really sorry if anyone's eating their cornflakes on Monday morning thinking about Darren Way on OnlyFans.
Is that another title coming up there, I think? a question from Tom. What were all of your first Yeovil games and were you hooked from the start?
1993.
2 years before the inception of Yeovil Town
of football, yeah. 1993, I think it was 93. We drew 2-2 home to Kidderminster. Mark Shale scored, I think. And no, it didn't make me hooked because I hardly went to much of that season. And I think I went to little bits of the season after. Probably got to the mid 90s before I was actually hooked, I think. But yeah, I was in and out. The early 90s were generally not a very good place to be. So I was probably a bit in and out, but that was my first game. I certainly wouldn't call myself hooked after that though. Just slow burner.
Mine was, what was the year we played Wimbledon in pre-season? 99?
Yeah.
99-2000?
I've got the program in a box. Regular
Wimbledon. Actual Wimbledon.
Actual Wimbledon. Neil Sullivan, Crazy Gang Wimbledon.
Yeah, all right.
Can't remember that one. It was that pre-season. That wasn't the first game. There was a pre-season game a couple of games before it that I went to, and I think they were possibly wearing red. And I can't put my finger on who exactly it was.
Bournemouth? Played Bournemouth a lot in pre-season.
Maybe Bournemouth. Might have been Cheltenham. But I went to the Wimbledon game, and then we played Fulham that same pre-season. And I remember standing outside at Huish Park for longer than was entirely necessary for Stan Collymore's autograph after the game.
Stan Collymore? Did you get it?
Yes, I did. And Chris Coleman?
Yeah, he played for Fulham, didn't he?
Yeah.
And for Wimbledon, at the time, they must have brought so many subs because they were like right along the side of the pitch. And so all the kids, me included, were going up with our autograph books because selfies weren't a thing in those days. And going down the line and getting everyone's signature. And I remember the two goalkeepers, Neil Sullivan and Marcus Hanneman, were next to each other. And I got both of their autographs. I might even have it here somewhere.
We played Wimbledon on the 21st of July, 1999.
So who did we play just before that? Because the one before that was my first game. And I remember saying to possibly my dad or someone, oh, they're playing Wimbledon here in a couple of weeks.
So we played East Coker on the 17th of July.
I was at that game.
And we won 11-1.
Yeah.
And we played, now I don't know if this is Gillingham or Gillingham. I reckon it might be Gillingham.
Yeah.
Because we lost at home 1-2. Yeah, lost 2-1. And then, yeah, Wimbledon, we lost 4-2-2. Who scored the two, Ben, seeing it was your first game?
Did Ben Smith get one?
No.
No idea then.
Two summer signings. Two of the four summer signings we made that season.
Mason Eaton.
Yeah.
Foster, Aidan Foster.
Yeah.
Who were the other two summer signings?
We talked about these the other day. David Norton.
Yep.
And
the other one should be the easiest one.
Skivo.
That's it, yeah. David Norton. That's a good bit of memory, that is.
And the answer is no, I wasn't particularly hooked. I was hooked from the trophy final onwards. That was the one that hooked me. But yeah, I'd been in bits and pieces from that point on.
Mine was a pre-season friendly against Swindon the season before that. And no Yeovil player scored because they scored an own goal.
Oh, yeah.
We drew 1-1. And, I mean, I don't think I was hooked, but we did go. We carried on going. So it was sort of just builds, isn't it? It snowballs. And it was a good time to start, really. You know, a couple of years of average and then in came Webb and it all got a bit exciting. Then Gary Johnson came in and it all got very exciting. Next question is from Adam Barrington. Was Saturday against Eastleigh our strongest starting 11?
Adam Barrington is the one who wants to have a go at the quiz, by the way, if I seem to remember correctly.
Yeah, I've got him. Don't worry, he's in. He's in for Thursday.
Good man. Excellent. At the moment, it probably is. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, we talked about our strongest 11s, didn't we? And the only change I've got is Reed is in my strongest 11.
Yeah, well, I was the same as you, so
yeah.
Yeah.
So Coates is still 4-4-2 at the moment, isn't he?
Dinosaur.
What kind of dinosaur would I be if I was a dinosaur?
You are... I've got you down. Well, you work with aeroplanes, so I think you're a flying dinosaur.
Yeah.
Pterodactyl.
Pterodactyl, possibly, yeah, or a pteranodon.
Pteranodon? All right.
Yeah.
Can I not be one of what are those ones with the really thick skulls that on the latest Jurassic Park, like, smashes their way through with their head? Can I not be one of those?
The one with the big thing, the big boulder at the back on the tail? Ankylosaurus?
No. I'm thinking of. I will come back to it. But yeah, it's got a big, thick skull. I'll be one of them instead.
Okay. All right.
If you were a dinosaur, what dinosaur would you be? No, let's not get that.
I don't know.
What's your favourite dinosaur?
That one with the big, thick skull.
Ian, you have a small child. You must not have dinosaur experience. I have a small child.
Freddie likes Triceratops because of Power Rangers mainly. It was, you know, partial to a T-Rex as well,
yeah.
As we all are, you know.
Of course we are.
He's yet to experience Velociraptors and Jurassic Park and all that type of stuff, but we'll get there.
A Pachycephalosaurus.
Pachycephalosaurus, yeah. Looks like he's wearing a swim cap.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah.
Big, thick skull. Yeah, I'll be one of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. James Churchill asks, who'd win a fight between Nathan Jones and Colin Pluck?
Not even a question. Colin, anyone who's got a chant that they are a fucking mentalist, there can only be one winner, can't there?
Yeah.
Definitely going to have to press the button now, but yeah.
Jimmer.
Ben literally rolled his eyes at me then. Literally did.
No, I was thinking that maybe,
your thinking face.
I was thinking, yeah, that's my thinking face. I think whilst I wouldn't want to see Pluck versus Jones in a standard fight, I think if we're going to start getting steel cages and stuff involved, and we start, you know, AEWing this stuff right up, get some chair shots, got the tables, I think that could be really interesting. I'd watch that. I'd watch that on pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Pluck. For a belt, for a title.
Would it be Pluck or Miles, though?
You get more nickname Miles out of Miles.
Yeah.
So you'd probably go with Miles.
I don't know. There's a nice Pluck rhymes or something.
It does. that's more ECW.
Jimmer has asked, there's a couple questions here. Not denying Knowles' goal was a good one, but with Ben being a goalkeeper, does he think the keeper should have done better?
Hang on a minute. You're a goalkeeper.
Goalkeeper slash... if I was ever on Football Manager...
It's goal-scoring centre-forward. Like.
I was going to say, prolific goal scorer plus goalkeeper.
If I was on Football Manager, I'd be a striker. But you'd go to the goalkeeper rating and I'd have two instead of one. Everyone else has one. I'd have the Phil Jagielka two. That if absolutely necessary, I could go in goal. But I was always a bit short. So... maybe he should have done a little bit, but it was a rocket, so no.
And he also asked best chocolate bar. This is gonna get fiery. Ooh, I feel
it is nearly selection box season, isn't it?
Yeah.
Can I say crunchy?
I'm right with you.
I'm a big fan of a crunchy. Yeah.
Can I say dairy milk with crunchy bits in? You know, the big.
I'd go for that. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I'm not a big fan of a crunchy, but no. I'll easily pack away one of those £2 bars of dairy milk with crunchy in it.
Is your issue with Crunchy the chocolate to honeycomb ratio then, basically?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
You can get Crunchy Bites as well, can't you? Which are just literally that, just small bits of chocolate with that in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or McFlurry, Crunchy McFlurry, also good.
Don't hate a dime bar either.
That is a retro reference. You don't see them anymore, do you?
Have you tried the flavoured ones? The latte version of a dime bar. D bloody beautiful.
A latte version.
D beautiful.
D beautiful. Yeah.
Have you double deckers?
I'm not a fan.
Mm, okay.
I'd leave them out of the what selection box are they in? Dinky Deckers. I'd leave them out. I wouldn't touch them.
They're in Miniature Heroes, aren't they?
Miniature Heroes, yeah. They're like Palmer Violets. They just deserve to stay in the box. They need to stay in the box and think about what they've done.
Can we get a bounty question in here? What?
No.
No. Brilliant. That's good. The last one.
Give me a new one.
May as well get rid of them from the celebrations. What's the point?
Correct.
Exactly. I throw them away as well.
Cool. Well, that was surprisingly unanimous on that one. I thought
we are together. We haven't spoken before all this, have we? We haven't aligned our thoughts.
It's got to the point now where I try and avoid the questions until we record, so I don't overthink them, and I feel like I give a natural response.
Yeah. There's another question. Has anyone else noticed the lack of cheesy footballs in shops these days?
Correct. Yeah, they're normally next to the Twiglets in the big tubs. And these things get smashed.
Oh, yes. I love one of the tin of Twiglets, yeah.
Tin of Twiglets, big fan of a tin of Twiglets. And the cheesy footballs are always next to the Twiglets. And they're not there at the moment. At the moment, there's just some stupid little cheesy savoury things and they're rubbish. So bring back cheesy footballs.
I don't mind a cheese savoury.
Yeah, but you only need two. And then it's like you're eating clay.
Okay.
Have you ever eaten clay to know the difference?
Who put my pot of clay next to the cheese savouries?
That's not hummus.
I think that's all of them.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so. Rounding off with Macrovelli and the cheesy footballs.
Macrovelli and the cheesy footballs. It's a 1990s band if ever there was one.
Shall I just do a check of the Stevenage manager situation just to make sure no other names have been added?
Yeah, let's close out with that.
Yes, no other names have been added.
Just Graham Wesley, yeah?
Yeah, Graham Wesley.
That's it, the only name. Well, good luck, Stevenage.
Wonderful. Cheers, lads.
Cheers, team.
And with a quick turn, the skipper, Alex Dock, slams it in.
Lindegaard making Forrest backpedal. Davis looking to help it into the path of Morris. He's found him via the deflection. It's Aaron Davis. He could win it. He probably has won it for Yeovil. Oh, and it's an opening goal. What a start. Madden, after just 6 minutes, gives Yeovil the lead.
Stansfield, good turn away from Trott. Goal!
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.